Experience worship. True worship. Experience the Word, bringing you wholeness. Experience the warmth of fellowship. Experience wholeness at Lighthouse. Join us every Sunday and Wednesday at the Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. Visit our website at www.lighthouseng.org or contact us at info@lighthouseng.org. The Lighthouse, lighting your pathway to destiny.
Praise the Lord. Stand on your feet for a little. To God be the glory. Has God so loved the world that He gave us His Son, who ye dead is life and atonement for sin, and more, the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Born again. Amen. Let's clap. Just clap for being born again. All things are passed away. I'm born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. Hey! I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. I'm a brand new man. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new woman. All things are passed away. I'm just born again, again, again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. First, I would like to thank God, the giver of life, who gives us life and gives us the grace to be and do what we do. So I thank God so much for joining mercies to this place and for the privilege to even stand before you. I count it a great honor. Praise the Lord. And I would like to thank Sister Folake and Pastor Ayo for inviting me to this wonderful place. Amen. I thank you so much for taking a risk. I pray that at the end of the day, your risk will be worth it. Praise the Lord. And I want to thank each and every one of you for waiting. And I came here for just one woman, not all of you. I didn't come for all of you. You are too many for me to come to. But God sent me to one woman. And at the end of the day, we shall know who that woman is. And most so at the end of the year, or at the end of life, that woman will show forth. Praise the Lord. I came here with my big sister, Auntie Reg, and my little sister and friend, Linda. And please stand up, let them see your faces, Abuja faces. That's my sister, and that's my sister, our sister, Linda. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to thank all of you, the musicians, the people in the choir, and everybody, the people showing pictures and all of that. Praise the Lord. So the educated people have come and spoken. The people who know stuff have come. I'm just a pastor. And I don't know highfalutin stuff. I just know basic Bible things. So, and I'm glad and I'm at the end. So you've been given knowledge and all. I just came to inspire you with the word of God. Is that okay? Is that okay? So I don't have radio. I don't have money. I don't have anything. All I have is this book, the word of God. So permit me to speak from the word of God. Amen. And the theme for this conference is the king's business. The king's business. So I've decided to just title my thing, Be About the Father's Business. So it's one thing to talk about the king's business, but what actually in essence is the king's business? What is the king's business? I was telling Linda as we sat behind there, I say, my own anointing is weird. It isn't that I can't preach these other things, but it's all the time, it just looks like God just brings me back to the word. And I don't know how not to preach from the word of God. So please bear with me as I preach from the word. And as you can see, I don't even carry a laptop or a telephone. I still carry the Bible. And I force everybody in our church to carry the Bible. They don't bring telephone or iPad in our church. No, I don't let them. Because I say, this book must carry it. iPad is not a Bible. Telephone is not a Bible. It's a telephone. This is the Bible. And I'm so proud of this Bible. I carry it. Big Bible. So I still preach from this book. Amen. So what is the king's business? The scriptures Auntie Folake gave me were 1 Samuel chapter 21 verse 8. It says, and David said to Ahimelech, is there not a hand spear or a sword? For I brought neither my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. I could explain that, but I don't want to. But that is the scripture we are dealing with. And then in John chapter 9 verse 4, it says, I must work the works of him who sent me. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus was saying, I must work the works of him who sent me. Not my works. Not the works of what people think I should be doing. Not what the society is doing, but the works of him who sent me. So there was a particular works that Jesus was sent to do. And Jesus Christ's main thing was to fulfill that word. I also believe that there is a particular works I am sent to do and you are sent to do, but from the Father's perspective and from Jesus' perspective. Amen? So I'm going to read two scriptures to show you the Father's business. Is that okay? Because no matter what any and everybody is doing, it must fall into these two scriptures or else you're out of it. So Matthew chapter 22, verse 35. Praise the Lord. He says, then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. I'm going to read also John chapter 13, verse 34. John chapter 13, verse 34. And this is how it reads. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also have love, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. So by loving will they know that you are my disciples. So in this scripture, two things are important: love and discipleship. Love and discipleship. So love so that they will know you are my disciples. Love so that they will know that you know me, that you have learnt of me. And the last scripture I'm going to read is in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verse 19. Actually, let me do 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen? That is the Father's business. Those two scriptures are the Father's business. Whether it's money or radio or ministry or therapy, at the end of everything we do, at the end of everything we say God has told us to do, it must love somebody and it must make them a disciple. If we are not making disciples, we are in trouble. If we are not making disciples, we are not doing the Father's business. Now, I know we are in a day and age of this internet where everybody wants to be a star. Everybody wants to be a model. Everybody wants to be a successful person. But there's only one work God has given the Christian to do. Love one another. Two assignments. Love one another. At first it was love one another with all your heart and all your strength and all, and love your neighbor as yourself. But Jesus knew that if he left you to love people as yourself, you'll be selfish. Because you say, if I can't do it for myself, I won't do it for you. Because the Bible says to love people as myself. You know, people have quoted that. But Jesus went a notch higher. He said, no, don't love one another like yourself. Love one another like I have loved you. So that's the next level. That is the level at which we are supposed to be operating. That we should love one another, love people around us like Jesus loved us, not like ourselves. That was the new commandment. This was the old commandment. The one that had always been, love the Father, love other people like myself. But a new one I give you, that you love one another. And then the next one is, be disciples. Make disciples. That is the master's business. Because as the topic was given to me, and I always try to hear from God, Father, what am I going to say there? And unfortunately, I always come out weird and different. I always come out just raw Bible. And I'm like, but permit me to just do my own gift. See, everybody came here and did what God has given them. Mine is to preach from the Bible. So the king's business. There are over 700 people who work in the royal who work for the royal family in the UK. Over 700 people in Buckingham Palace. Now, only professional servants in the world work in palaces. And whoever works there counts themselves lucky Because it is a great privilege to stand before royalty. Whenever you stand before royalty, you are standing before something special. And so the pay is very low. The pay in the Buckingham Palace is pathetic. I think they pay them, they make a few hundred pounds a month. A few hundred pounds is ridiculous, I'm telling you. A few hundred pounds. I don't even think it's up to 500 pounds or something like that a month. But they love to work there. Because working there is standing before royalty, standing before the most important person in England and one of the most important people in the world. And so people, they count it a privilege. Now, the people who work in the palace, the people who work there, do everything they have to do with all their hearts. And they would rather die than make mistakes in the palace. There and in every palace, the work is done to precision and with great care. It is also done expeditiously, quickly in the palace. You can't tell Queen, I forgot. You cannot tell the Queen, oh, I'm tired. No matter if it is your last breath, you stand straight before the Queen because you are standing before royalty. We're talking about the King's business, isn't it? There, the servants always go above and beyond the call of duty. The queen or the king is held in the highest esteem and regard and is the most important person in any country deserving of all respect and honor. So no business of the king is ever carried out with laxity or a careless attitude. There is no procrastination in the palace. There is no slothfulness. There is no shoddiness. There is no lateness or forgetfulness when you are serving kings in the palace. The first person that, do you know that in the villa in Abuja, the first person that sees the doctor, the president every day is a doctor. And the last person that sees him is a doctor. That's why they don't die easily. Because anything, the first person that sees him before his wife is the doctor. And the last person before he goes to bed is a doctor. That's how important their lives are. They are amazing human beings. So the issue of you make mistake before king or you forgot or you are busy or you are doing another thing does not arise because that is the only focus. We are dealing with kings here. We are not dealing with nobodies. The king or the queen is the final authority in every country. His word, his command, his instructions are always taken seriously. His word never falls to the ground. So kings and queens don't speak anyhow. They don't just open their mouths and talk. They are very deliberate. The Queen of England, her voice is so, you have to strain your ears to hear. She's not going to raise her voice. Because it is on your honors. It is your responsibility to hear her, not her responsibility to shout. It is your responsibility. It is not her responsibility to shout for what? Kings and queens don't shout. And we wait for their words like with a plate. If the queen says, it is interpreted and done. It is interpreted and done. So people always wait in great anticipation to hear what the king has to say because his word is power. His word is law. Her word is law. You don't argue with queen. You don't argue with a king. When they say stuff, it's done. It's almost impossible for a queen or a king to retract their word. By the time they give an instruction, before they close their mouth, it's already carried out. And so if they make a mistake on the life of whoever it was, that command was. You say, Pastor, how do you know? I know. Because there was a day when David did that census that God didn't send him. You remember? And God told him, choose three things. He chose, I'd rather fall in God's hands. God gave him plague, fall in my hands. Or you'll be running away from your enemies for 3 months. David said, let me fall in your hands. As that is happening, God has given a command for the angel lawyer to start killing people. They were still talking with God and they hadn't finished the conversation. The angel had killed 70,000 people. While David and God were still there, 70,000. By the time they finished, then God said, stop. After 70,000 human beings. That's how people respond to kings. And There was a day Sennacherib abused Hezekiah. I talk, you know. And the guy took the letter to God and put it before God and said, God, you have seen this abuse, oh, help me, oh. And God said, don't worry. That night, one angel went and killed 186,000 people. That's how, see, angels, I'm sure angels sit in heaven and they wonder, what are these creatures that sit with God and negotiate and argue and don't even obey? What are these people? What are they? And then it bothers them. How come you love them? Because they disobey you. They don't even pay your attention. They don't listen to you. I'm sure it must blow their minds. Because in angel territory, God is supreme. God says, go. They before he finished they have gone. That is the business of the king. The business of the king is serious business. It's serious business. And then another incident in the Bible to tell you the power of the word of the king. So, David is old and he had not assigned anybody to the throne. And Adonijah said, I'm going to be king. And the whole of Israel go with the army and everybody. Bam, 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 bam. We have a new king. And Nathan goes to David's mother and says, come on, Adonijah had taken over the throne. Blah, blah, blah. And says, but you promised Solomon. David said he become king. He said, take Solomon, put him on the horse, and put my clothes on him, and go into the city and blow the horn. It was about six of them in that entourage. It was Solomon, his mother, Nathan, Abiathar the priest, and Joab. They went. Because David had spoken, every hoopla they were doing in the city stopped because the king's word had gone out that this is the king. That Solomon was the king, not Adonijah. I'm trying to tell you that when the king speaks, no matter what is going around the world, it stops. And so let the world be doing what they are doing. God has the last card. That should give you some comfort. The Bible says the governments of this world are upon his shoulders and he shall reign forever and ever. So I just wanted to paint a little picture of you. And then in my understanding of the king's command or the king's business, I look at Abraham, our father, and I look at the times God told him to do something. God said, today, I want every male circumcised. Abraham does not say, how, where, but father, you know, they are old. No. God closed his mouth. Abraham starts cutting the men. By that evening, they were all circumcised. The king's business. By that evening, God says to Abraham, I want you to send Ishmael away from the house. God does not, he says, Sarah is right. Send them away. That afternoon, Abraham sent the person away. Sent his child, Ishmael and Hagar, the mother, away. Immediately. And of course, you all know the story of Isaac. That in the night, God told him, I want you to sacrifice your only son to show me you love me. Abraham did not discuss with Sarah. He did not even say, let me wait for 1 week and let him say goodbye. Let us celebrate. The next morning before the sun came down, Abraham was on his way. That is how we respond to the king. And so from those people, I have learned to live my life. I just need to hear that this is God. I'm gone. Mistake or all, I'm gone. Because I'm not going to wait to be negotiating with God and all. The king's business does not warrant any negotiation. Yashaka, oh, you people are not Hausa. He is too much for negotiation. He is too big to be negotiated with. Once the word of the king goes out, I'm gone. Praise the Lord. You remember the centurion? He said to Jesus, don't come to my house. I'm trying to take talk to... See, we need to understand the king. We need to understand the king. God will tell you something. You go and do it. And then you come back, you are repenting. It doesn't happen. He said, don't come to my house. I'm not worthy to have you come to my house. Only speak the word. My servant will be healed because he knew the power. He said, I'm also a man under authority. He said, speak the word. And Jesus says, ooh, I've not found such faith. And he speaks the word and that thing happens. The only people that shock God and the angels are human beings, especially so-called Christians, who are supposed to obey the king and hear his commands. So we have a king, and his name is Jesus. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus. What?
Jesus.
Who?
Jesus.
Who?
Jesus.
J-E-S-U. So if he is the king, when was the last time you made a disciple? Because this is what the king gave us, the great commandment and the great commission. You know that, don't you? He gave us the great commandment and the great commission. The great commandment is love your neighbor. I'm changing it to the new commandment, as I have loved you. And then the great commission is go into the world and make disciples. That is the king's business. I don't care what anybody else says. This is the business. This is what we're supposed to be doing. It says, by loving one another, will they know that you are my disciples? So my dear sisters in Christ, that is what we are here to do. To love one another until it attracts people to God, and to make sure that whoever we come in contact with, our desire is to make them a disciple of Jesus Christ. So every other thing we are doing must eventually make disciples or help us to make disciples. So if you are selling Akara, how are you making disciples there? If you are teaching children in this class, how are you making them disciples? If you are a businesswoman, how are you using your business to make people disciples? Whatever you are a doctor, you are a nurse, you are a mechanic, whatever you're doing, how are you making people disciples? Because that is the mandate. That is what Jesus Christ said we should be doing. So Jesus made them disciples. Jesus loved them and then made them disciples, and then he commissioned them to go and love and make disciples. Chikenongo, that's all. That is the work we are supposed to be doing as Christians. These ones that we have carried upon ourselves and we are making talking grammar does not arise. Bottom line, are you using where you are to talk to people about Jesus, to make them follow Jesus Christ? That is the point. Imagine that this mandate was given to angels, Sister Folake. What would have happened? The world would have been saved. You know that, don't you? You know that, don't you? Imagine it was angels. God said, go and make them all Christians. But see, they can't do it because they don't even understand the concept of being saved, because they are not saved. It is us who have been saved that are given the responsibility to go and get other people saved. Do you understand? I know that this is not the kind of message you want to hear. You want to hear how to make money and all of that. You want to know how to leave Ikeja and go and live in Lekki and all of that. You want to know how to have money to send your children to school. At the end of the day, where is discipleship coming in all of those things? Because if there is no discipleship, we are wasting time. And that is why Jesus has not come. The apostles obeyed. In the Acts of Apostles, Jesus said, don't go anywhere, stay until you get filled with the Holy Spirit. What did they do? What did everybody answer me? What did they do? If not us, what did we go do? And that's why I said I didn't come here for many women. Honestly, if I succeed in changing one woman's mind to say, you know what, I'm going to be about my father's business, I would have succeeded. Because I'm going to tell you about some women who just did one thing and they made history. And I'm trusting God that I will have just one. If we have one in our generation, we are fine. You say, Pastor, what is that? So the first question I want to ask you is, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? You yourself, before you make any disciple, are you a disciple? You say, Pastor, what is that? Number one, it means that you have met Jesus Christ. You have had an encounter with him. You have experienced him. Have you experienced Jesus one-on-one? Do you know him one-on-one? Because that's the Father's business. He came to save us from our sins. He came to connect us to God. He came to take us to heaven. So that is the business. And that was what Jesus came to do. He died. So the question is, are you a disciple? Have you learned about Jesus? What do you know about Jesus? What do you really, really know about Jesus? Are you acting like Jesus? Are you following in his steps? Do you ask yourself, what will Jesus do in this situation? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you doing like Jesus would do? Have you left your old ways? Or you say you are born again and you are still having sex outside of marriage. You say you are born again and you are still lying. I see Christian lie and I'm like, seriously? Christian will be home and say, I'm on my way, I'm almost there. You never bath. It's the truth. Christian will look at you and lie. And then when he finishes lying, he will pray in tongues. Christian will have fornication and get down with the boyfriend and kneel down and they start praying in tongues. What are we doing? What are we doing? Christian is stealing in the office. All the wicked people in every ministry, in every state in this country are deacons and deaconesses in church. The people who hide files and wait for bribery. So question is, have you really, really met Jesus? Because if you have met Jesus, you will talk differently, you will live differently, you will do differently. Thank you, my sister, for that weak clap. Thank you. At least you tried. Are you living a spirit-led life? We used to sing, there's a great change since I'm born again. 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 The lies I used to tell before, I tell them no more. You remember that song? The sex I used to have before, I have it no more. The cheating I used to do before, I do it no more. There's a great change since I'm born again. Today we just sing, I'm a millionaire, I'm a millionaire, I'm a millionaire, I'm a millionaire. We will be singing and dancing like I'm a millionaire. I'm a millionaire, I'm a millionaire, I'm a millionaire. See, I've been preaching, you want to sleep? You will not sleep here until I finish. You want to say, what is discipleship? You will not sleep. I will come and conk your head where you are sitting. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Are you really a disciple? You are still talking like before. I see some of you, your clothes are so short. It's Lagos style. Lagos. Your clothes are so short. You're walking, you can't even walk well. Because everything is so tight. And then half your breasts are out. And then your hair is like Delilah. There are girls I see in church. And me and my sister, I was saying, see that one like Delilah. See that one like this person. See that. True. In church, your hair is white, blue, red, purple. You are chewing gum. Chakas, chakas, chakas. Have you ever stopped to ask Jesus, how would Jesus dress? You can cover everything and still look beautiful. Thank you, my sister. You are that woman. You can cover everything and still look. You can cover your legs and still look pretty. Is this my dress not beautiful? Is it? What am I exposing anything? You don't. Prostitutes will not expose their body, you too expose. You are a disciple of Jesus. They can't leave everything outside. Cloth is, any cloth that does not touch your knee is short. Oh, because a disciple of Jesus Christ is different. We need to redefine this Christianity and this, oh God. Okay, I need to move. So after you have become a disciple, a disciple is somebody who has learned of Jesus, known of Jesus, imbibed the principles and the values of Jesus, and now takes those principles to the world. I don't trust any of you going into politics. You can't survive there because you're no disciple. That is why they go there. People, I have seen people, the best of us, go there as a Christian. And before the demons there are not playing demons. And so if you are going to be a Christian in politics, you are going to be the disciple that not only covers, you cover your nose and ears and all, and go there with only one purpose, to love the people and to make them disciples. Because when you go to police, the first week, they'll come and put 10, 20 million for you. You say for what? They will say it's to drink coke. And you're like, drink coke? No. Remember, you just came from potholes, from all this madness. And your whole ambition was to go and change. I said, no. You say no, but I didn't work for you. They say no. They will just say, oh, God, if you don't want our career, and you say no. Then you will remember you had 10 million needs. You say, well, Father, I thank you. It's not your blessing. It's not your blessing. It's somebody's hospital bill. It's somebody's. That is why you have to be a cooked disciple to enter those kinds of places. The Father's business is what I came to talk about.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,